We all ready to roll? We're going to take a couple questions. I have some that some students already wrote out. I have a few. You have to understand, too, we have a lot of online students. We'll probably have way more questions than I can touch and handle, of course. Some of them are really good questions. They're not quick answers. You have to establish the answer with Scripture. So I'm probably going to just use some discernment here and go through some that I know I can cover in this time frame. And tomorrow we'll just do questions, okay? Like any questions you guys have. Is there anybody here that Martha just laid one up here? I have a couple in my hands. Is there anybody here that's still sitting on questions, waiting to ask a question? If you have one and want to write it out and give it to Sue, but tomorrow we'll just hit questions. I have plenty to cover me probably for the hour, and if not, we'll take a couple. But a couple of these I want to hold out. Man, these are good questions, though. It's amazing how many questions people have. Which is not a bad thing. Remember always, I said this in the beginning of the school too, guys. It's certainly not wrong to ask questions. That would be ridiculous not be able to ask questions. It would probably be like communism or something. I don't know. It would just be dictatorship or something. But remember the heart you ask a question in. I'm not concerned about any of these. I'm just saying this for your sake. Even when you're talking to God, don't assume the right ever to have attitude, contesting, be right. And already have an answer in asking a question. Why are you asking the question if it's in a tone as if you already have the answer? When you ask a question, you want to be sincere and you want to be humble and pure, especially before the Lord. But even when you're asking it with people, don't ask questions in a challenge. Because it'll just hinder your ability to hear. Like you could, honestly, you can get strong in the Lord and somebody can ask you a question from any place possible. And that's not a problem. You understand what I mean? But it would be a problem for you hearing. The Bible says, be slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen. So when you ask a question, make sure it's in all humility. Whenever in your group settings, if you're ever in a home group or a Bible study and you have a question, and I'm just sharing this for, I don't know why I'm staying on this, but it just feels helpful. If you have an area that's frustrated you, you'd be amazed how that question comes out of you. With a bite, with a frustration, and it hinders your ability to actually hear. It could actually, the people that you love and the people in your home group, it could actually threaten or intimidate the people you ask the question to, too. You just want to always keep a good grip on your heart and the why behind everything you do is all I'm saying. Okay? These questions are all good. There's nobody's challenging, nobody's anything. And I don't mind if people challenge. You get challenging questions a lot. And it's okay. Jesus got them all the time. I like Jesus, too. A couple of times he said, let me ask you first a question. So, students, let me ask you. Okay, let me go on with this. Okay. Okay. This is asking if we're going to commission the students. The name of the Visual Bible series, it's Matthew, the Visual Bible series that I talk about a lot. It's called Matthew. It's just called the Visual Bible. They made one in the book of Acts. They were making one in Mark, but I don't think they finished that. And then there's a Gospel of John that is really good. But the Matthew videos are amazing because of the person and personality of Jesus. He's just so awesome. And he there's a real testimony. Do you guys ever hear the testimony? The guy that played Jesus in the Visual Bible with Matthew and how he prayed and fasted and sought the Lord. How he got so humbled by playing the role that he said, Holy Spirit, you led Jesus through the earth. If I'm going to do this movie, it has to be realistic. It has to be like it was. I don't want to just partake of something that's made by man. Like your heart crying about man. And when you watch that, you can see. It's amazing how his emotions change, how he, it's just even like the leper, and he's so full of, and he says, I am willing, and he pulls back his thing, and you could just see that it would have to be like that. It's a visual Bible, and it's good, but it's word for word. There's nothing added or subtracted. It's the Word of God. So when you watch the Visual Bible of Matthew, it's like you just read or heard somebody read the whole book of Matthew. It's very helpful. I love watching it. I love watching it. You can even see his heart when he's rebuking the Pharisees and he's saying words that are so sharp, but yet the way Holy Spirit has him, he's more than an actor. You can see his love for people even when he's talking as straight as possible. And then he kneels and cries and says, "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem." And I'm just done, man. I can't even, the videos mess me up. So, I'm assuming HS is Holy Spirit. Do you see Holy Spirit? What does Holy Spirit look like? Okay. Well, Holy Spirit looks like Jesus. Holy Spirit is a spirit. I just want you all to know and understand. There's impressions. There's ministrations. It doesn't say he's a dove. He came like a dove. He comes and shows himself in many ways. I did a wedding once. I shared a lot. I shared it in this school. You guys know. I saw with my eyes. It was like the smoke. It looked like a smoke or a mist. It was neat looking, but it came over both shoulders, joined as one tunnel, split around. The bride and groom went this way, passed each other on the way around, and went around about 4 or 5 times, tied them, and went out over the people and fell. It's phenomenal. It was really cool. And the people knew what was happening and didn't know what was happening because they went. And when they went to receive the bride and groom, they all ran to me and cried and said, "What's happening?" And I said, Jesus. No, I explained. So there's just neat things you get to see. Those things are fun. Please don't even. I know people will disagree with me on this, but this is my encouragement to you. Don't even chase after them or look for them. They come in your communion with God when you can well steward them, and they never just get weird in your life. You don't live for them. You live for Him. And in living, I've had crazy things. Twice I've seen the ceiling open and a clear crystal waterfall pour out. Twice. I'm not looking for that. Once it was on me and reinvigorated me after some witchcraft stuff. The other time it came on a lady with a brain tumor and disappeared the brain tumor. The lady in the bench was sitting from me to Kimberly away from the lady that it was happening to, that far away from here to there. And it was splashing her, and I could see the splashes splashing and touching, spritzing her. And she was going in the room. And this lady was from a very denominational circle and had no history of manifesting charismatic stuff. She wasn't taught or trained in the church, and she didn't have any learned behavior. Forgive me. But there's a lot of learned behavior around from the circles we run into, and it's tough. It's hard to address because you don't want to judge. But Kimberly's sitting that far, or the lady's sitting that far away as far as Kimberly, and I'm watching this thing come on this lady and took a brain tumor out of her. But the splashing was hitting the lady, and every time it splashed, and I saw it spritz her, and it was just God showing me how the Spirit of God is a living realm and a powerful, unseen but powerful, real realm. And every time the little spritzes touched her, she went, "Oh." And this is a lady that doesn't shake her manifest, and it didn't seem like she had a choice when that water was spritzing her. And I like that. So it was just fun. So Holy Spirit's our friend. He's a spirit. He's Holy Spirit. But He reveals Jesus. Amen? And He manifests Jesus. And He speaks on behalf of the Father. And it's just really, really good. So, okay. Could you give some more clarity on how to walk out and live in divine health? For a person who eats organic foods, takes supplements, etc., not sure what it would look like. You said in class that we're not vulnerable. That's neat because it's answers I always give. It's to our environment. So I'm confused about the spiritual versus the natural, being a good steward of our body. Be the best steward you know to be of your body. If you have a conviction, follow it and eat right and do healthy. Just make sure it's not fear driving you. Understand what it means to bless your food and receive all things with thanksgiving and believe God's amazing love for you. He said, if you eat any deadly thing, it won't harm you. And then people say, yeah, but then you need to be a steward and know what's deadly, what's not. My grandfather, I think fear is more damaging than anything. My grandmother canned. You guys know what canning is and fruits and stuff? She's a major canner. She made pies constantly. I hear all the things about white sugar, white sugar, white sugar. My grandfather ate more white sugar in his life, but he ate temperance in his life. He ate real healthy. He ate small amounts at a time, but they canned, and grandma made the syrup. The half and half stuff. that you put in your can. It's like a cup of water, a cup of sugar. He's 99 and a half and never had one medical issue my whole life. And my grandmother's 93, and the only reason she passed because she was sad when Carl died and said, life's not the same. So 3 weeks later, she passed. You need more white sugar, but if you have fear and all that stuff, you'd be amazed. Fear plays more of a part in vulnerability. I'm convinced of this in my own heart. This is my own conviction. See, there's no law on this stuff. Do right, live right. I don't watch calories. I don't even know what all those phrases mean that people talk about. My buddy Todd takes supplements and stuff. That's fine. He knows. I look and I read and I just say, whatever. I don't know what that is. But I know I feel like $1 million plus every day of my life. I don't relate to pain. I don't relate to nothing. I just relate to Him loving me. And I don't violate my conscience in eating. I don't indulge. I don't excess. I don't live to eat. I eat to live. I don't run to the buffet excited and eat till I can't walk. I'm serious. That's what people do. Come on, it's all over the earth. 2-for-1. Extra double, extra large. All you can eat. All the signs. They're trying to get you more for your money, more for your buck. Eat till your heart's content. I don't live that way. And I won't live that way. Because it would violate my conscience. And if my conscience is clear, I have confidence before Him. Paul said all things are profitable, and if you eat them with thanksgiving. Now, I won't just go eat excess. I won't just take a spoonful of Crisco and eat it because I think it's good. Come on. But what I'm saying is I don't read every can. Do you think God saw the year 2011 and population? If everybody tried to eat organic today, nobody would be able to eat. Just a few. Because there's no way you could supply the world. And if you eat any deadly thing, it won't harm you. I know how Christians can be. I've been around it at the altars. They'll read an article on this preservative and this new finding, and fear grabs them. And now they're going to pray just in case. No, when you read that article, you go, God, thank you for the gospel. What would I do without you? I'd probably die. Thank you that I'm preserved and protected in you. And then if you have a violation about that preservative and it bothers your conscience and you're trying to find faith, then just leave it alone. And just don't eat it. You understand? So I see people, what they call it, a health kick, and they call it wisdom. And around a lot of people that I'm around, it's not just stewardship of their body. It's a lot of vulnerability and fear. That you need to decide. I'm not judging that. I'm saying in cases that I know of, for sure, a lot of it's vulnerability and fear. Like they have fear for you if they see you putting something in your mouth that they wouldn't put in their mouth. And they're afraid for you because you're eating that. You might just be totally okay. So you could have feared for my grandpa his whole life. And he didn't know any different. He was fine. He was the most modest eater, very thin man. Tall and thin man, the most modest eater I've ever met. But he ate more white sugar than any 10 of us combined in his life. So some of this stuff, I think it's more wrapped around fear and natural knowledge. And I know we have all the studies now, see, because we're knowledge people, we're scientific people. So now we know that this and this is bleached and this is that and this is poison and this is that. And oh my God. And most of us are afraid to live on the earth today. As if there's no gospel protection or covering in the Holy Ghost. So I'm just saying, stay temperate. If something violates your conscience, stay away from it. That's my rule personally. So you're asking me to bring... There's no other... All things are profitable. Receive with thanksgiving and it's made clean. There's nothing unclean. Man. I'm not going there, Vicky. There's nothing unclean. You can eat anything. Oh, I wouldn't eat a cat. No. No. I'd eat a rabbit. I like rabbits, actually. Donna said, cats taste the same. Oh, no, now you have three. Donna, go ahead.
Oh,
And I know my answer is probably causing 1,000 questions. Well, here's what I'm simply saying. Live by faith, live in temperance, and don't violate your conscience. And the law of love says that if something bothers you, don't do it. But whatever you do, whether you don't do it under the Lord. And if you do it under the Lord. Don't get religious and don't fight over it. Face the key. Anything not of faith is sin. So for Christian to come to me and say, well, I don't think you should eat that. Well, you're a man of God. Don't you know what's in that? You're poisoning your body. God gave you. You shouldn't eat that. And it's because you read a newspaper article. And now you say you're loving me and trying to protect me, but it's vulnerability and fear. And I have no conscience, no conviction. And I actually don't have a problem eating a lunch-sized bag of chips. No problem whatsoever. I eat it once a month. I'll eat a bag of chips probably. But I have no problem doing it. But I won't eat a bag of chips. You follow my point? But there's some people that say, my God, why would you even stick that in your mouth? Don't you know how they make that and what's in that? That's just like death in a bag. And I'm like, that's your concern. I'm just, okay, thanks. And a lot of this is fear. A lot of us believe we're vulnerable to cancer. A lot of us believe we're vulnerable to the flu. That's why we get the shots. I'm just saying. I don't have one piece of medicine in my home. Now, I don't preach this stuff usually, but I'm not waiting to get sick. I don't have one bottle of nothing. No stomach settler, no Rolaid, no, I don't put none of that in my body for 16 years. I'm not expecting that. And if I would find myself in that, there's something that I have. See, now I'm getting flaky on you. And I'm not condemning you. I'm not saying this comparing. You could hear it that way and cross the line. I would rather have a headache for 2 hours and lay a hold of faith and have God deliver me so that I learn that He's my help in time of need than just grab three or four somethings, pop them in and get rid of it in 5 minutes so I don't hurt. I'd honestly rather walk through that little bit of pain and believe God and just trust God. And that's me. That's me talking. I'm not telling you you're wrong for popping Advil in your mouth. That's ridiculous. I have never preached that and you've never heard me say that. But because we rely on these things, it's a fine line where you begin to be dependent on things that give you immediately relief. Instead of building something in this way. And I'm just that kind of guy. You say, well, you have a high tolerance of pain and all that. I probably do, but I'm that way. That's how I think. That's just me. That's not to judge you. I'm just saying, I'm answering this question directed to me. So I eat pretty freely. I eat very healthy. I grow my own stuff in the garden. We can. I don't eat a lot of weird stuff. I don't stop at fast food hardly ever. I love it. Who thinks it's good? I love it, but I don't stop there much the way my life is. I eat probably pretty healthy at large. Now, a person that's big time organic or in health foods would probably think I eat terrible. Probably. I actually have a conviction and conscience that I eat pretty good. And the Holy Spirit doesn't tell me any different. And He loves me and I'm in communion with Him a lot. And He's never told me, Dan, you shouldn't do this. Dan, you shouldn't do that. One time I was indulging sugar in an excessive way and I didn't realize it. And I had a little pain right here. And it was there for 5 days. It was right there. It started to bug me because it was a silly little pain. I'm watching God do stuff. And I'm like, and I have a revelation, some things. And I've walked through some stuff with Jesus. And this little pain was just sitting there like. And after about 5 days, I'm like, and I just talked to the Lord. And He said, Dan, you eat entirely too much sugar. And He went. And He showed me what error it was, and I completely stopped it immediately. Why? Because He's my Father, and He's fathering me, and He showed me that that little pain was an excess in my life. It was outside of temperance, so it was outside the box of the way I live. And as soon as, watch, I didn't have to stop that, and then this thing wear off. As soon as He said that, I went, oh, the pain just went, boop. That's amazing. I know a guy that your conscience and spiritual manifestations are made. I know a guy that was having struggles with smoking and he had a conviction And I don't even think about people smoking, but people think about themselves smoking when they're Christians. I would never judge you. If you felt like you had to smoke, that's between you and God, and you're working that out. And I wouldn't tell you, man, what are you doing? You don't need to do that. I don't even address that stuff. You've never heard me talk about none of that from the pulpit. That's not even the stuff I'm thinking. I'm thinking your convictions will work out. I know a lady that came off the drugs and the prostitution that led a Bible study for a year smoking while she taught her Bible study. And didn't think nothing of it. And after a year, Holy Spirit said, you know, you really don't need that. As she grew in Him, and she went, oh, and she realized, and she put it away, and she never smoked anymore. But she grew to that place. And Holy Spirit was amazing, ministering to other people that still had issues and stuff, but He grew a foundation in them and grew them to a place where they let go of things that used to be. I think that's okay to that degree. I don't preach, well, you shouldn't drink, you shouldn't. It's like the old farmer ran over to the, what makes you a Christian? Well, I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't run the women. Well, I guess my mule's a Christian. Do you see? That's not what makes us a Christian, the do's and don'ts. It's just, that's a Pastor Don thing. He's rubbing off on me. He has a little jokes. But and I know you have a question back there. But do you guys hear my heart in what I'm saying? So Romans 14. So for me, for somebody to come to me with their conviction and say, man, you shouldn't do that. Da, 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 da. Well, that would be like me turning to them and say, well, you probably ought to get a little more free and get in faith and just get a little more secure in Christ. And now we're just fighting. And then we might all just start our own churches and make a new river. Yeah, I know. That was sharp. Watch this. The Bible says some esteem every day the same, some esteem a day different. It says, but if the one that esteems every day the same, let him do it to the Lord. And the one that esteems the day different, let him do it unto the Lord. And they're both standing the same before God. And don't you get on each other, because they're both standing before God. Because of what you do it by faith. It says, but if you're eating something and have a total conscience to eat something, and somebody doesn't have that conscience, and you eat in front of them on purpose to boast your faith, you're not in faith at all. You've just stepped outside of love, and you're the one in sin. So faith is the key on this thing. Faith is a strong issue. And of course I'm aware of the health movement. Of course I'm aware that a lot of ministries promote certain eatings and don't eat this and do eat this. And they spend whole shows on TV telling you what to eat and what not to eat and what causes this and what doesn't cause this. But my concern is we're not even preaching the gospel anymore. We're just trying to survive. And we're trying to do everything right, and we're calling it stewardship, and we surround it with certain names. But I think there's more fear and vulnerability than we'd care to admit and confess to. I mean, we call it the common cold because we all expect to get it. We call it flu season. We've given it a season. We have. We've given it a season. Heaven doesn't know what you're talking about. Heaven doesn't understand what you mean. Jesus came in the earth as a man. He wasn't vulnerable to all those things. There's a place to walk in the Spirit and still not walk foolish. It's not arrogance. It's all about conscience. If you violate conscience, you shipwreck faith. Anything not of faith is sin. So you let your heart be pure. You make sure you don't get on tangents. If I didn't understand what I'm saying, I could get on a tangent and just be out to prove something and probably get hammered quickly. Come on. So just be careful. I've seen more people in fear over eating right than just honestly eating right because they had that conviction to take care of themselves. I've seen it attached to vulnerability and fear more than anything. Perfect love casts out fear. I'm in the world. I'm not of it. I'm not subject. I told you that story about Red Cross, and they told me about the blood and stuff, my blood. And I said, what are you actually saying, ma'am? And she said, well, it's like you're not even living in the world. That's what she said on the phone. I said, oh, I can explain this. And I shared the whole gospel with her. Because she said the things that aren't in your blood, they have to be in your blood. They test positive in 99.9% of people because of environment and exposure. Just living on the earth. It doesn't keep you from donating, but they're just there just because you're in the earth. You're on the earth. And she said, you don't have any of those things in your blood at all. And I wasn't surprised. It wasn't something I believed for specifically. It's something I understand as a whole. It's just part of the package of redemption. I'm in the world, not of it. Wonder if I understand what that means. Wonder if I don't have to pray about every topic. Wonder if I just believe I'm as if I never ate the tree. So I'm living in the Garden of Eden. My feet are in the Garden of Eden. You think I live at 2280 Catherine Street. You're wrong. I live in heaven. Heavenly places. Wonder if I do believe that. And there's more perks and benefits that are yet to be seen. And I just bump into them along the way because I believe one truth. Oh, boy, that feels good to me. Because, see, I believe what I'm telling you. I'm not condemning you if you have pains. I'm not condemning you. What I'm saying is, when you have those things, so divine health, here's the question. Could you give more clarity on how to walk and live in divine health? What do I preach constantly? Communion and relationship with God and receiving His love. And even if you're going through things, don't question, get on a search and try to find a better scripture to apply to prayer. Just keep receiving His love and grow up into Him in all things. And love casts out fear, and need won't drive you in fear. Love will release faith in your life, and faith will release all things. So you never become a product of what you're going through. You're always a product of what He's been through. So we're not comparing ourselves among ourselves in these things. If I'd share my personal testimonies too much, it would sound like I'm comparing myself to you. And some people would hear is, boy, I got a long way to go. Instead of, wow, there's so much more to walk in. Instead of hearing, wow, there's so much more to walk in, we hear, boy, I got a long way to go. That is hearing in a wrong ear. I personally don't share a lot of the things I enjoy. I don't say a lot from the pulpit that I don't have pains and I don't this and I don't get sick. I have people privately come up and say, do you ever get sick? I can't relate to having a cold. I've never had the flu since I've been saved. I don't understand what it means to have a fever, a stomach ache. I don't have that ever. I thank God for that. I'm not believing for that. I'm just in covenant and believe a bigger picture. I believe I'm in Eden. I believe I'm in Christ. And I'm not in the world, and I am not vulnerable to it. I'm not expecting to get the flu. My biggest challenge, if I would get it, would be shocked that I have it, probably. I have to get over that. Not here we go again. I hope you guys are hearing my heart clean on this. I'm trying to bear my heart without you hearing me wrong. Because I know there's people here that you have certain challenges and stuff. Our answers are receiving God's love. I went to work and I was supposed to work. And they said, you can't miss any time in your 90-day program. I got sick the first night in my body. I started to feel the symptoms at supper. I couldn't eat and I had to get to work in an hour. And I started to feel like the flu coming on me. I thought, you're kidding me. There's no way. I never get the flu. And I went up and I started quoting the word in my bedroom. And did what a lot of us are taught to do. Now I'm preaching all these scriptures. Because if it gets down to it, I've read that book. I could preach for a long time scriptures in my bedroom and quote the word. And I'm there, and Holy Spirit's like, shh, Dan, shh, just open Psalms 103. Just open it. I turn to Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Laid the Bible down. And stirred me right back to communion and communion relationship. I bless you. Oh, I bless you, Father. Here I am striving, quoting, praying, caught up in works, trying to get a breakthrough. I bless you, Father. And I don't forget your benefits. I'm standing there. I don't even remember when I got totally free and healed. I just know 50 minutes later, I'm a gushy mess and I feel like a million bucks. I'm trying to get a healing. And the Holy Spirit's going, psst, shh, shh, hey, what are you doing? This ain't us. Dan, I'm over here. Come sit with me. I'm on the floor quoting all these healing scriptures. Knowing this has to leave because I'm a child of God. Nothing that's not of God can stick to me. And I'm praying all these scriptures. Holy Spirit's going, psst. Hey, What do you do? Come here. Bless the Lord. Union, communion, relationship. I just shifted a gear. I was like, duh. Because I was so shocked that I felt that way, because I was so expecting not to feel that way. The night before, my supervisor had the flu and got healed just standing around me. And confessed it publicly. Without me praying for him. Out of the blue. I don't know what it is, but I'm standing by this guy, and every time I get near him, I feel better, so I've been hanging around him all night. And I go, I can explain that. And I did explain it to all of them. So I hope you're hearing me clear. Did you still have a question?
Well, I just wanted to give a personal testimony briefly that I was lethargic and had melancholy and constipation and cold. And when I've been exposed to a lot of nutritional stuff because my mom's had a health food store for 35 years, but I found that, like, these are signs of low thyroid. And I went to a doctor and he ran a generic test, and trying to make this short, but it showed up not enough. And so years later, I went to another doctor. He ran the specific. I have a low thyroid. I go on the natural stuff because I oppose taking meds if mm-hmm. I can. And then I realized how much the thyroid needs iodine and how short Americans are in that. Our soil is totally depleted of minerals, and the Japanese don't have all those problems. They get enough iodine with their fish and seaweed and stuff. So I get my thyroid or my iodine level checked, and it's way below what normal would be. So I'm eating more fish and seaweed and subsidizing with an iodine tablet under control of my doctor, and I'm functioning better, and I'm hoping to get off the Armour thyroid pig thyroid stuff. And so I'm bringing that up because, you know, if my thyroid's not working right, and sure enough, I've had X-rays on it too, so that has adversely affected it. You know, I'm believing that God's going to heal me, but I still know that I need to get my iodine. So I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying. I agree with what you're saying. You know,
no, that's why it's such a big topic, because in your situation, that's where your conviction is. That's where you're searching all that out. I'm not comparing me to you. That's why it's a touchy question. I God help me. I'm in trouble. I personally don't think that way. I believe that I don't believe, because I don't live in Japan and all that. I believe I can be okay. And I believe there's a place for me to function, and there's a way for God. But at the same time, you've searched this, you find this. It makes simple sense to you, so you're not any less than me, is what I'm saying. I don't look into it, because the more you go that route, the more understanding you find, and the more list, and the bigger, and now you got a million reasons why you might not be okay, and you got all the stuff you need to do and keep in check so that you are okay. I've seen that list get so big with people, and I've watched people that get so health conscious they feel the worst of anybody I know. They're so health conscious in what they eat and don't eat, and they feel bad all the time. And the more they feel bad, the more they pursue that arena, and the more knowledge they get, the more reason they have for not being okay, because they're living in the world. I know 10, 15 people off the top of my head in that category right now. And they feel terrible all the time, and they're constantly conscious of diet, eating, what they don't have, what they're lacking, and gotten all this stuff. There is a statement at some point where you cross vulnerability. My answer is, you got to make sure it's not vulnerability. I'm not hearing that in you. You're saying, I'm lacking this, I'm eating and doing what I can to get that in me, and it's helping. That's awesome. You have to know where that line is, where it doesn't become vulnerable, and what else am I lacking, and what else? Well, now you're going on this web search and finding yourself. Come on, be honest with me. We go on for natural knowledge, that website, for symptoms, for feelings, and you get yourself so freaked out and think you got trouble. And if we'd open the Word of God and stay in prayer as much or more than we're on that internet, we'd really know God by now. That's not a harsh statement. That's true in many cases. We've done so much natural study and natural knowledge. If we'd seek spiritual things, we'd probably have better answers. And that's not a wrong answer. I'm not contesting your answer. I totally am totally cool with that. As a teacher in the school, that is totally fine and clear with me. My answer is, I'm concerned how far we go with certain studies, searches, mentalities, because I've watched people get so out of balance. And it becomes a fear to them. And if it's as simple as eating more fish, man, I love fish. Eat more fish. That is not unspiritual. You understand? But at the same time, watch this. Nah, thanks. Now I'm getting help here. If I don't have access to more fish or can't eat fish, I'm still in Eden. That's my point. I'm still in Eden. I want to know what Adam was before he ate that tree. I want to know if Adam had supplement deficiencies, possibilities. I don't think. And there's just a place I'm going after. You don't have to agree with me or run with me, but I'm just saying it's a place of clear conscience and no fear. And it's my privilege to go there. You don't have to go there, and don't feel compared by me when I preach on it. And I am not condemning her in one bit. Eat more fish. I would anyway. I don't know about the seaweed, but I'll pray for you on that one. No, it just sounds funny, seaweed. Because I know people eat seaweed. I pictured a seal, you know. And I'm thinking, seaweed, because you picture raw seaweed, you know. But it is raw seaweed in some cases, isn't it? What is it? I've seen it before. You've had it before. I've tasted it. You were eating it in a bowl one day. I said, you're eating seaweed. I did taste it. I thought it was kind of strong, kind of bitter. Is it strong and bitter?
No.
You like it?
Yeah.
Yeah. See? Now watch. Now look. Yes, it's so good for you. Who knows? That's totally cool.
It's so refreshing.
Do you hear? So I'm not preaching against that. If that's what you see and you're reaping for that, eat seaweed.
I like seaweed.
But don't believe if you can't get a hold of it. Don't believe if your seaweed shipment doesn't come in, you're lacking. Come on. Come on. Now that's my point. Because I promise you, in many cases, if you can't get your seaweed, you're in trouble. If you can't get enough fish, you're in trouble. When is Jesus Lord, is what I'm saying. And I'm not being hypo-spiritual, I'm being real. So eat your seaweed, man. I'm serious. So that's what that was between your teeth the other day. I said, what is that? I'm teasing. So I'm trying to answer a question as gracious as I can without sounding super spiritual, without you being compared and condemned, because I am not wrong with you eating right. And it would be silly for me to say it's wrong to eat right and eat supplements and do good things. But don't believe for a minute, if you can't access them or get to them, that you have to be in trouble. I don't believe that. And I'm just passing it on. And you don't even have to agree. You don't have to agree with anything I taught in this school. Do you have a question on top of the question?
I just have I guess it's a comment, because my problem was I was so paranoid about eating right, and I couldn't afford to eat right. I couldn't go to the health food stores. I couldn't do all these things.
Yeah, what do you do
and
if you go
Lord,
to a third world country
church? The
Lord
had to say to me, you need to relax. I got control of your kids. I got control of you.
See, I believe God speaks that way.
I couldn't afford it. And it's like,
see, we're living in America and we got all these stores on the corners. You go to third world countries, you go to places where, and they have different scenarios and setups and they have poverty and all that. And you can preach a certain thing, but it leaves, if that's the way it has to be for you to be okay, then you're leaving the rest of the world out, because we live in a very privileged country.
I just prayed over my food and just said, Lord, you know the minerals we need. You know what my children need. And I just believe you're going to do this for me, because we're doing the best we can, and we're yours.
Amen. I like that. I went to a Mediterranean restaurant in Massachusetts, buffet, got one plate, but I felt it pretty good. But they had all the names in Indian of the food, so I had no clue what I was eating. So it was just so fun, because I didn't have a clue. So I just got something of everything. Went to Hora and they said it was very spicy and seasoned. The only word I recognized was goat. So I know I ate a goat. I don't think there was CATs in the bins. I don't think, but I'm not sure. But all I know is this. I took that plate and said, thank you, Jesus. This is going to be fun. I just, because on that sheet, you said to Peter, don't call what I've made clean unclean.
Yeah.
And that was you talking to Peter, and I am not going to call it unclean if you said it's clean. And I will not. You're the Lord God. So thanks for this food. And it was so good. And I don't even know what I ate. I don't have a clue. It's like... Can I share this? Vicky's daughter's out of country. She's in a culture that eats guinea pigs.
I love guinea pigs.
She has a little pet guinea pig. And now she's in a culture where she can't offend, so she has to eat, in a sense, her pet to not offend people. What's more important? Offending people or keeping people in a good place where they can receive from you and just being kind of like, well, I ain't eating a guinea pig, or going with their culture to keep their hearts open, or stumble them by saying, I ain't eating a guinea pig. So what did a woman of God do? Eats a guinea pig.
Why not? It tastes delicious.
You like them?
Yes, I love them.
You eat them?
Yes.
She's awesome. See, she's up here saying, I eat guinea pigs. I eat rabbits. I never ate a guinea pig. Are they good?
Yes.
See, we're eating all kinds of clean things. But you go to cultures like David Hogan preaches, you know, you're not supposed to eat, drink like blood in the Bible. But he gets these villages saved and they want to honor him. Or he'll go to a village to preach Jesus. And when they receive him in, there's something they drink or eat there all the time. It's called blood moldy. And he says he is totally convinced that it's more important to eat the blood moldy and keep them in a place where they can receive from him, then violate them and make him seem outstanding, proud, or whatever, where he has no voice in their life. So in that sense, he's becoming like the Jews to win the Jews. But it's all for the sake that in a minute they can get saved and understand, and he can teach them why they don't eat blood. But until that point comes, he said he'll wolf down a bowl of blood moly like it's ham and eggs. That's what he said. But he said, but it ain't. It's all about love and the conscience and God's grace. God's a lot bigger than that stuff. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So that was a bigger question than I knew it was, actually. But I think the point God made at the end, where it's great to eat your seaweed and your fish, but if you can't access it, don't think you're in trouble. No, you're in Christ. I'm going to leave it with that. It feels healthy. Yeah, amen. No, I understand. I was making a point that you're... Because I wonder if you go to a foreign country. Wonder if you end up somewhere. Wonder if the chips fall and you don't have the shipments. Wonder if some end times kind of thing we get thrown into and you all of a sudden need to have faith. You ought to just have it now. You ought to know you're okay. You're in the Christ. You're never going to die. You're in the Lord. Elisha's by the brook. Ravens brought him food. That was probably unsanitary. They carried it either in their beak or their feet. Either one, people go, ew, I need a wipe. Come on. If God's sending it, it's okay. Peter said, no, I've never put anything unclean in my mouth. Eat, Peter. That was God. Eat, Peter. Are you still got a question or a comment on this food thing?
No.
Oh.
I don't know. I have a comment about a pastor.
Go for it, dear. I love you, Patty.
I bet you do.
No, I do.
You're going to miss it.
And not because I'm commanded to. People say, well, I'm commanded to. I love you because I do.
No, my, it has nothing to do with that question.
Oh, good.
No, I'm not going there. it was before when you were talking about, you know, with people smoking, you were saying, you know, like, it has nothing to do with the non-Christian or anything. But now, if you become a Christian.
Right.
Okay. Now, with the smoking and, like, just say drinking. I have so many, this is a question that's been on my heart for a long time. I guess it doesn't say anywhere you should not drink. Okay. However, I was on the understanding. It's like that one day I was out in my backyard, and it's like the Holy Spirit said to me, you know, if I'm in a restaurant and I'm, you know, and I see nothing wrong with I'm having one drink, a social drink, but somebody walks in,
right,
that knows me.
There's a lot to consider there. That's right.
That knows me. And even
that's Romans 14. It would do everyone good to read Romans 14 and become it. It's called the law of love.
If I cause them to stumble,
right,
I cause them to sin.
Right.
And it was my
you violate fault. Their own conscience. They see you a certain way, and now all they can see you for is Patty and she drinks.
Oh, my gosh. Tomorrow I'm an alcoholic.
Patty and she drinks. You know, there's a lot of Christians that say, well, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, he turned the water into wine, brother. And you know, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot more factors. It's called the law of love. You know, some people say, well, all things are lawful for me. Well, it also says that you shouldn't come under the power of any. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that we could touch on that are touchy, that people get ruffled feathers over. The smoking thing, I'm glad you actually brought it up, because I didn't finish what I was saying because I got pulled off into that food thing. But which was a good question. It's a very good question. I guess what I'm saying is believe for divine health. And believe that you're in Eden, and believe and grow in love that God has for you, and just keep growing in redemption and the finished work of Christ, because it's your faith in that one truth that takes you there. It's not believing for healing. We're busy believing for healing. I wonder if we understand redemption and the blood and the redemption from the fall, and we've been redeemed through His blood, and this love is so amazing. All of a sudden, vulnerability and fear slip away. This man had a conscience violation, was smoking, and then he'd sneak away and smoke, and he would never smoke around Christians, and he'd have to leave and smoke. And after a while, it felt like a band around his head real tight, and a pain and a pressure right here. And it manifested, it was like a violated conscience. It was pressure on his conscience. It was weird. And he was asking for prayer for it for a long time, and all of a sudden it hit me what it was. And the Lord showed me what it was. And I said, it's manifesting, whether it's God spiritually showing you what you're doing to yourself because you're graying yourself out, or whatever, whether it's demonic, but it's connected. And I talked plainly about the smoking because I don't touch that stuff. But he cried and stuff and got a grip on that area. And that, isn't that amazing? So, you know, you can get caught up in a lot of, there is people, I now we're on this topic. I know there's, you can drink coffee, and I'm not a legalist, but if you can't not drink coffee and you get a headache so bad and all that stuff, that would concern me if I was in your shoes. Because you'd be completely dependent upon it. And now you're under the control and dominion of that level of coffee and caffeine. But see, Christians don't want to talk about that. See, but brother, I'm not under the law. Well, but you're in bondage. To where if you don't drink it, you can't function and have a terrible headache. And you don't want to try to quit because you can't, because you have a terrible headache and you don't want to do three again, because then you pick it back up in 2 weeks because you can't live without. And then that's something to address, not to laugh away and just go to Starbucks and call it St. Arbucks. That's what people call, and it's a serious thing. I'm talking about a serious thing. See how serious I am? It's not condemning. It's not judging. I don't care if you drink coffee. Are you kidding? You're your own person before God. I am not your judge. But I care enough about people to say that, listen, we can talk ourselves into a jam, but the reality of our life is if we're dependent on these other things, how can we sing we're free? And if I can't not drink it and not get a busting headache and I'm dependent on it, why is that different than drug addiction? Why is that different than alcoholism? Why is it any different? Just because it's coffee. It becomes addictive. And anything. I know a young girl, a teenage girl, that came to me and I said, hey girl, what's going on? She said, I'm good now. I said, what do you mean? Because she was precious to me years ago. I haven't seen her forever. She's got married now. But she was, it's been a long, long time. I haven't seen this girl for 10 years. So she's well into her 20s, close to 30 now. But she said, well, I'm finally free. And I'm free of my conscience. And I said, what do you mean? Watch what she said. Teenager at the time. I don't drink Mountain Dew anymore. I said, well, what's wrong with drinking Mountain Dew? I said, I actually like a good Mountain Dew now and then. She said, I was addicted to it. And the Lord showed me in prayer. Did you ever notice I had a bottle? And I thought, my gosh, you did. Every time I saw her, she never didn't have a big bottle. She's a little skinny girl, and she's always carrying this big bottle of Mountain Dew with her. All the time, nonstop. And the Lord showed her she was living by it, that it was actually like people do with alcohol and drugs and smoking. And He loves her. And she was saying, why can't I get close to you? Why do I feel this and that? He said, honey, you're depending on this. You need this. And without this, you're not okay. But without me, you're not okay. And as a teenager, she just laid down Mountain Dew. And I thought, that's commendable. That's cool. Now, is God a legalist? He pointed it out to her in prayer. See, this kind of stuff we get uneasy and don't like talking about it. Because we're leaning and dependent on a lot of other things, but we're pursuing to know Him more. But all these things we're leaning on. And David Hogan says he doesn't drink coffee unless he's in Mexico because it's culture and they drink coffee like crazy. So he drinks coffee there. But if he's not there, he doesn't drink it. What's that mean? He's drinking it socially to not offend, but he's not addicted. He doesn't need it. So this is a hard topic sometimes we bring it up because people think, oh my God, I'm addicted to coffee. I don't want to face it. And here I'm trying to pray and go, because now my whole life is just shut because I'm addicted to coffee. And that's why it's hard to talk about it because of how people react. But I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you have that conviction, man, wean off, ease off. Ask God for mercy and grace. Put all your trust in Him. And I'm not even saying stop drinking. Just make sure you're not bound to anything. I don't want to be bound to anything. Anything. And that's not legalistic. It's just flat out truth. I don't want to be bound to anything. Hunting and fishing was that to me before I was saved. I was so addicted to getting out of my house and being in the outdoors. It was the same as an alcoholic. Exactly the same. Are you following me? It tried to fill the need in my life, and the more I did it, the more I had to do it. So when I got saved, I didn't fish for 5 years just for my own conscience sake to know I was free. I wasn't going to hunt at all. And my wife forced me out to go kill a little deer. Because she said, you're not going without a deer. We didn't need eating a deer. I said, Kimmy, it's okay. I'm not. No, you're getting a deer. She literally forced me out to go get a deer. Yeah, good girl. Huh? Yeah, she said, I went home one night. I didn't have my license or nothing. She said, you go get your license now. I said, I used to not. You couldn't even keep me home. Now I want to stay home and you're pushing me out. Said, go get a deer. We're eating spaghetti, my favorite meal. And she said, why haven't you hunted yet? Well, why can't you go now? You just see me walking down the road tracks with my bow. Lord, I just don't believe she's pushed me out here to hunt. I don't even want to hunt. I didn't even want to open this door in my life. You know, this was a bondage to me. I didn't even want to go climb up in a tree and get this thing back in my blood. I don't even want to hunt. I'm asking you to let this happen and get it over with. I don't want to just sit out here in a tree for weeks. I get up in my tree, I hang my bow, I look, and it's like, and don't think God doesn't help me hunt. Because one time I was sitting, He said, you better stand up. You better stand up now. He helps me hunt. Last year, 2 years ago, turkey season, He said, don't go that way. Go out this way till 9 o'clock. Call from out there. And I got a big old gobbler. Jesus walks with me and hunts with me. He's cool with it. Because we utilize it and we eat. And it's on that sheet with Peter. So I climb my tree and I look and there's the deer walking. And I know some of you ladies would be like, oh my God. It almost looked like it was being led through the woods right to my tree. It doesn't happen, guys. You that hunt know this doesn't happen. You're moving when you climb a tree. You got to get in and things got to settle. I don't even have my mask on. I put my thing. And here's this deer just. And I'm like, oh my God. I looked up. I said, this is ridiculous. I'm stage 7, 8, or no, by that time it's 2 months. I'm like, this is ridiculous, Lord. I mean, come on. It walks right through the woods with a bow. Getting a shot is always hard and stopping. He comes right there at the tree and goes. Boom. He goes boink, 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 boom. My truck's there. I drive right on the field road, throw him in my truck. I'm home and they're just barely cleaning the dishes from spaghetti. And my wife said, why aren't you hunting? What, was the wind wrong? Was somebody in your spot? She knows the language because I was a hunter. And I said, well, and I played it up. She saw, I said, what are you talking about? You told me to go get a deer. How long does it take a guy to get a deer? I said, let's get out the spaghetti. Oh, you couldn't have got a deer. You were only out. You couldn't have been going 6, 7 minutes. You 7 minutes into your tree stand a minute. I said, how long does it take? How about that spaghetti? And the kids couldn't take it. They ran out. Boom, 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 boom. And I heard them out there screaming and squealing because they're looking in the back of the truck. My wife said, you couldn't have got a deer. She turns out and she's like, what? And I'm sitting there eating like a king. Just how long does it take to get a deer? So it's just fun. So that's the only reason I hunted, because my wife said that she utilized the meat. Go hunting. That doesn't mean, and she said, it doesn't mean you're addicted to the outdoors. But watch how clear my conscience got and how tender my conscience got, that I didn't want to open a former thing up and feel like I was still in need. And that was just my love for God doing that. So don't get condemned about these kind of teachings. They're things to really face. They're really things to face. You want to be free in every way. That doesn't mean you're condemned if you drink coffee in the morning or you can't wait to get up and drink a coffee. Preachers make fun about it and make it light. But you got to be careful when you start jesting too much with things because you're trying to talk around your consciences at times. And it's time to face things. It's not wrong to drink a cup of coffee. It's not wrong to drink a glass of wine with your spaghetti dinner. Yeah, I said that. I wouldn't do it. I have no desire to do it. But I could sit with you at your house and you could both drink a cup of wine with your spaghetti dinner and I'd think nothing of it. But at the same time, you got to be conscious to what maybe somebody else might think, especially a young Christian or whatever. But I don't have a desire to put that stuff in my body. But if somebody feels like they like it, enjoy it, hey, turn the water into wine, brother. Well, so be it. I'm not going to ever judge you on that. But you're the steward of your heart. And I've heard a lot of people talk around things and say, well, I just do it socially. And you find out that they can't help but to do it, that they're actually using it as a stimulant to calm them because the day's so tense. That's a scary door to begin to open right there. Let me show you what works. Father, I just thank you and worship you and I appreciate you, Holy Spirit, that you're in my life. You see, Shane, you've had your hand up, I realized. And we got to end now and I got a lot of questions tomorrow. I'll try to wrap up questions. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that with this, like we're all of our hearts, I think, are in the right spot and we all desire to embrace all that we can be in Christ, embrace all that He died for, and all this stuff. Our heart motivation right now and our heart's desire with these questions is so pure and so
right.
Good. We want more of Him. And I see a little bit of a temptation or a possible stumbling point if we go home and then we're like, okay, I need to start looking at, you know, try to point out places that we feel like we're going overboard in. Like, okay, you know, let's start looking at my coffee, start looking at my medicines, like what am I starting to rely on? And there's a point where that can be good, but then I also see...
No, I don't live that way. I don't ever encourage that to be good.
You let your
conscience do that in your relationship.
Bingo. And that's what I wanted to say, because I can see myself, I know where my heart's desire is right now, going, you know, sitting down and then trying to realize, okay, this. But that's where exactly everything you've been talking about, your conscience, where you just live your life, and then if you wake up in the morning and you start to get coffee, let Holy Spirit be the one to say, hey, you know, look at this, or something like that, where we're not the evaluators of our own life. We don't need to go around condemning or judging ourselves in a sense. Just let the Holy Spirit say, hey, you know, this or that. But in our heart motivation, I know that I have the temptation to go home and try to analyze my life with a good motivation.
Well, right. A lot of people do that. A lot of people do that. They look introspective to find out what's wrong, what's not in line, but they come up with a negative resume. And then they try to work on the things that are negative.
Right.
But in your relationship with God, your conscience will function and activate. The part that concerns me, when people have a conviction, they know something's not edifying, but they don't address it and they kind of just let it wane. That's where you guys and me need to be great stewards of our life and heart. And if Holy Spirit's gracious enough to illuminate us at all, please follow your convictions. Because what you do is you gray yourself out spiritually, you start getting condemned down the road, or you start talking around what you are already convicted in. And I've seen that happen largely in the body of Christ, where in their relationship they've grown to a degree where they go, oh, and then they go, and they ignore it. And when you ignore it, you do yourself injustice. So do exactly what he's saying. Let your relationship reveal those things. But when they're revealed, please ask him for wisdom and please let him walk you through it and take your hand through it.
Yeah.
And don't ignore it as if you didn't hear it. Because guess what? You did, and your conscience knows that. Do you see what I'm saying? There was a time I heard God speak to me and I didn't understand ministry and I didn't want to go back to the office, and I was at a workplace and God said, I want you back in the office, and I totally ignored him. And 2 weeks went by and every day I knew I ignored him. Every day. And then 2 weeks went by and then he waited 2 weeks and whispered that same thing out to me, and I just burst out bawling because I knew I ignored him. Why put ourselves through those 2 weeks of living under a violated conscience and knowing you're avoiding something instead of letting him father you through it? You see what I mean? So I totally agree. So don't go home and nitpick. That's why I said you can't be condemned by what I said. It's a very touchy topic, but it stuff needs talked about sometime like this. Amen? Amen. So we'll answer questions tomorrow. Why don't we stand to our feet and just thank God? We'll do some more questions tomorrow. We got plenty of them. More than we'll get answered, actually. Thank you, Father. Let's lift our hands to Him, please. Let's just thank Him. He's awesome. Just talk to Him a little. Just get personal. Just thank Him for everything that's being imparted. Just take Shane's heart in closing and just, you know that right now you're in the love of God and the grace of God, that your heart's right, that you want Him. You wouldn't be in this school if you didn't want Him. And Father, I thank You. There's nothing that can keep me from You. Continue to father me, Lord. Continue to lead me and guide me in truth. I want to be everything You've designed me to be by Your grace and by Your Spirit, not just because I tried hard, but because You're willing to give me the kingdom. So, Father, I receive right now from You. This is a prayer I pray myself all the time. I believe we can pray it and believe it corporately. Father, we don't want one drop of grace available to our lives, to miss our lives, that Jesus accomplished and paid for. Let it come on us and teach us who we are and what's possible through the cross and resurrection of our King. Let grace abound and let mercy have its way and mold us and shape us in Your image, God. Thank You. We're willing. And we say, yay. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow
for the last day of school.